You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody jumping in and joining the podcast and giving me a little bit of your time to talk some good, healthy sports talk as always. Man, y'all, I know I missed the last 2 weeks, man, but I'm happy to be back. Had a lot going on, man. You know, it's holiday season, man. First of all, I had to eat real good on Thanksgiving, man. I had to go to two houses. I go to two houses every year. And look, got a chance to eat really good. Got a chance to enjoy family. I hope you all did the same. And look, and I took a good nap, watched some football, took a good nap at the, well, at the very end. I didn't nap throughout the day. I was able to stay up, surprisingly, and watch all the games. So, but yeah, hope everybody's been enjoying this holiday season so far. It is one of the most exciting months for me. Those of you all who know me know that Christmas is my favorite time. It's my favorite holiday. And, you know, I got everything decorated already. Got the tree up, got the apartment decorated. I know, you know, a lot of people that are real into Christmas as well. My girlfriend's into Christmas as well. She's fully decorated at her place. So, yeah, just an exciting time, man. And as the song said, man, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Can't wait. Been watching the Christmas movies, man. Got a couple of new ones that came out. So I'll be checking those out. And really, again, look, just enjoying this time, man. Look, full of joy, full of happiness, man. And I hope, again, I hope everybody's been enjoying this up to this point. But look, we have some good stuff to talk about today, being that, look, it is championship Saturday in college football, right? So championship Saturday is upon us. Excited to talk about the matchups that we have. Excited to talk about how I feel the rankings are going to turn out. So this will be a show that's going to be focused heavily on college football, and then I'll sprinkle in a little bit of NFL because my Bears are playing the Packers this weekend. That's the oldest rivalry in the NFL and best rivalry in the NFL. So can't look past that. So with that being said, man, let's kick off the conversation and talk about the college football matchups for Championship Saturday. So I'm going to run down these matchups. I'm going to tell you guys the who's favorite, the over under in these games. So just give you a quick preview, and then hold that thought, because I'm going to give you my predictions later on in the show toward the end. I'll say that as I always do. And look, we'll move on to talk about the rankings, talk about some Bears Packers, man. And again, I'll give you my picks at the end. So with that being said, let's take a look at the matchups. So first off, we have kicking off Championship Saturday tomorrow. You had a Big 12 championship game that's going to feature number 11 BYU and number 4 Texas Tech. That is kicking off at 12 p.m. noon Eastern Standard Time. Texas Tech is actually favored by 12.5 points on this one, and the over-under is 49.5. Next up, we have the SEC Championship game, which is going to feature number 3 Georgia Bulldogs and my Alabama Crimson Tide, man. You already know what time it is. Look, I got the Roll Tide shirt on. You all know how I represent, man, for my school. Look, number 9, Alabama. UGA is actually favored by 2.5 points in this matchup. The over-under is 48.5, and this is a rematch from the regular season where Alabama was able to go into Athens and get a big-time win early on in the year. And look, next up, man, we have two games that are going to be at night. You have the Big Ten Championship game that's going to be featuring number 1 Ohio State and number 2 Indiana Hoosiers. Ohio State is actually favored by 4 points in this matchup, and the over-under is 47.5. And you have Duke and Virginia, number 17 Virginia, and unranked Duke in the ACC Championship game. Virginia is actually favored by 4 in this one, and the over-under is 57.5. So, again, those are your matchups for Championship Saturday. A lot is on the line, a lot of playoff implications, a lot of things that are going to tell, you know, what those final rankings are going to be and where people will be seated. Now, let's take a look at the current and updated college football rankings. And, you know, I'm going to run down these rankings and I'm going to give you guys my thoughts and opinions on what the committee did on Tuesday. Right. Because we know that's, you know, this is, you know, the week before Championship Saturday. Well, a few days before, you know, they rank. They put in their final rankings, and that kind of gives you an idea of where the committee's thoughts and their minds are ahead of the final rankings on Sunday. Okay, so let's talk about where these teams are falling. So you have Ohio State and Indiana stay put at 1 and 2. You got Georgia; they moved up to number 3 after Texas Tech actually went on a road. Texas A&M, excuse me, not Texas Tech. Texas A&M went on the road and lost a big one against Texas, right? So they were upset on the road at Texas. And I looked at that game and I said, look, man, this is a game. You know, ahead of time, I said, look, Texas might be in prime position to be able to knock off A&M. And they did just that, right? Again, that helped Georgia move up to number 3. Texas Tech actually moved up to number 4. Oregon moved up to number 5. Ole Miss moved up to number 6. Texas A&M down 4 spots to number 7. Oklahoma State put at 8. And look, I know y'all are going to, you know, I know y'all probably had a lot to say, like, oh, Alabama lost to Oklahoma and VJ didn't come on and do the show. No, that wasn't the case. Even though I was upset, you know, I obviously I'm going to mention it. So y'all know I don't duck any smoke. Ever. Oklahoma went on the road in the Tuscaloosa and you know, Alabama hadn't lost at home, you know, all year. And it's been a long time since Alabama's lost at home. And they were able to force 2 turnovers and, you know, knock off my Crimson Tide. And it's all good, you know. So they currently have the head-to-head over Alabama. So Alabama is number 9. They actually moved up to number 9. And the committee moved Alabama ahead of Notre Dame. So Notre Dame actually went down 1 spot to number 10. Alabama was up to number 9. BYU State put at 11. Miami State put at 12. And then you have Texas and Vandy on the outside looking in at 13 and 14. So with that being said, let's take a look at this. Now, a lot of people, you know, had a lot to say about Alabama being put above Notre Dame in these rankings, right? Which, you know, a lot of people have issues, which, you know, it makes no sense to me. I personally don't understand why there's an issue. You know, if you look at the strength of schedule between both of these teams, Alabama's strength of schedule is 11. Notre Dame's strength of schedule is 42nd, right? Alabama has 4 top 25 wins. And with those 4 top 25 wins, they actually had those 4 wins in a row in the SEC. And one of those wins being over number 3 Georgia in Athens, right? At that time, Georgia, you know, they were still ranked within the top 10. Alabama had dropped all the way to number 17. And, you know, that was a huge win for the Tide. When you look at that, again, those are 4 top 25 wins in a row. You also look at Notre Dame. They have 2 top 25 wins. Alabama, their best win, like I said, and Georgia was number 5 at the time. That's Alabama's best win. Notre Dame's best win was against number 20 USC at the time they played. And since then, USC has moved up to number 16. So just 4 spots from the time that they played. There's no debate here. OK, there's absolutely no debate. When you have a team in Alabama who actually advanced to the SEC championship game, and then you have a team in Notre Dame who's going to be sitting idle and watching because they're not involved and they're not a part of a conference. What are we getting upset about? Right. I don't I don't think the committee got this wrong. And I'm not just being biased. I'm saying, like, straight up, when you look at the strength of schedule and the resume, if Notre Dame had a better strength of schedule and resume than Alabama, of course they deserve to be above Alabama. But how many times can you ever say that Notre Dame has a better strength of schedule than Alabama? Never. You never can say that because Alabama plays in the SEC. And this year, the SEC really stepped up. You know, SEC is the most competitive conference in college football. I don't care what anybody says. Now, again, Notre Dame is a good football team. I'm not taking anything away from them. I love Jeremiah Love. They got a solid team, solid defense. But to say that, Notre Dame should be above Alabama because they blew every team out on their schedule. They blew all these teams out on their schedule. That to me, that makes no sense, right? Because, yeah, you blow out a bunch of teams, but who are the teams, right? Who are the teams on the schedule? So let me tell you the teams that they blew out. I'll just give you an idea of these teams that they blew out. Purdue, Arkansas, Boise State, NC State, Navy, Syracuse, Stanford. Like, are we being for real? Like, come on, man. Like, stop playing. Stop playing. Like, I don't even understand why this is even a conversation, and I'm not even going to drag it on too much longer. But again, I had to touch on that because I saw a lot of people discussing that, and a lot of people have a problem with, oh, they're just favoring Alabama, and they're putting it up there so if Bama loses the SEC championship game, they won't get left out. Okay, again, the committee is doing what they should have done a long time ago, and that was put, you know, Alabama above Notre Dame, because Notre Dame's strength of schedule just not compared to Alabama's. And that's just the facts, right? And, you know, another thing, people seem to think that and assume that if Alabama loses this game, they're going to be kicked out of the college football playoff. And I don't think that that's the case. I think that Alabama has earned the right to be in the college football playoff. I think that with them finishing number one in the regular season in the SEC, they're going into the SEC championship game as the number one seed. They're their home team in the SEC championship game. They finished 7-1 in the SEC. Again, number one in the conference. So you cannot penalize a team for playing an extra game. You just can't. You just can't. You cannot penalize them for that. And I don't think the committee will. I think that they showed you by putting Alabama above Notre Dame and putting them at number 10. I think that does secure Alabama a spot. And y'all, let's stop assuming Bama's going to lose this game. I hear a lot of people like, well, if Bama were to lose this game, why are we assuming Bama's going to lose? Like, y'all forget, like, we've had Georgia's number for a while. And so let's not assume that Bama's just going to lose. I understand the conversation, but let's just not assume that Bama's going to lose this game. So, that's one of the things I just had to address. Really and truly, the other thing is, you know, when you look at this thing, right, and the way that this is shaping up, you know, BYU going to play Texas Tech for the second time, right? And if they were to win, Texas Tech and BYU, you know, we both get in. So the Big 12 would get two teams in the college football playoff. And assuming that, you know, Alabama wins, now you have a situation, and then you have the group of five, the highest group of five gets a spot in the college football playoff. And now you have to take a look at now who's the comparison going to be against, right? And that's going to be Notre Dame and Miami. And as we all remember, Miami has the head-to-head win over Notre Dame, which a lot of people still can't seem to understand why Miami is behind Notre Dame. I think that that's pretty, you know, shocking to me that Miami is been behind Notre Dame so long, being that they had the head-to-head win. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's shocking because, you know, Miami did have a bad loss against Louisville. So I think that is, and it was at home. So I think that put a big stain on them when it came to the committee. But if they had the same record in head-to-head matters, why are they behind them? Does head-to-head really matter? Right. And we had these conversations each and every year. Does head to head matter? Because the committee, you know, time and time again, they pick and choose when they want to value head to head. Right. Sometimes they say eye test, even though you lost to a team. You look better than them now. So like we're going to rank them above you. Like, and there's no clear criteria. Right. I remember when Texas went on the road and beat Alabama, and the entire year they had Texas ranked one spot above Alabama because they valued head-to-head for six weeks straight. And then Alabama, after beating Georgia in the SEC championship game, they finally got, you know, put above. And so, you know, it's wild and it's crazy the way that they do these things. And I really wish that there was more clear cut and you know, criteria and the way that they follow things and follow it consistently. But that's just not the case. You know, they do things different. And I really think they just need to blow up this whole committee and try this thing again. Get these athletic directors out of the committee and get some other people that are knowledgeable of the game. Because it's hard when you hear the committee come up there and say, oh, you know, Notre Dame, you know, blew out a bunch of teams, or the other week, the justification for having Alabama fall a spot or two before they ended up moving up was the fact that, oh, because Alabama struggled to run the ball. And so they used rushing yards as a criteria, whatever data point they just decided. They used that as a data point to justify where they ranked Alabama. And I'm like, what is the committee really doing, right? And people, none of us can figure it out. I don't even think they know what they're doing, right? So, again, I can go on and on about the committee. But those are your rankings. I said all that to say that that's where we currently stand. Excited about Championship Saturday. Excited about, you know, how things are going to shake up and where things are going to how things are going to play out. So definitely looking at that. And one more thing, y'all, before I move on, I thought that this was funny that you got Steve Sarkisian obviously lobbying for Texas to be included in the playoff, and I know that they have three losses, so that's going to be extremely hard for them to be able to jump into the college football playoff. I know that they have some really great wins this year, but with three losses, I just don't see that happening. Vandy, one thing that I thought was hilarious is the fact that they actually were trying to play a 13th game on Saturday. So they're trying to find a team to play a 13th game to give the committee other eyes on them to give a final, you know, a final pitch for them to get into the college football playoff. And I thought that was hilarious. I didn't think that it was real until I kept reading. I said, oh no, they're seriously trying to play an extra game. Like I still don't even think that would work. Right. You can't just schedule an extra game mid season, right. At the end of the season, not mid season. You can't even schedule an extra game at the end of the season. Like, I don't even know who even thought that was possible or what, but that was absolutely hilarious to me. But with that being said, man, we will continue to follow these rankings. And I'm giving y'all my predictions in just a little while toward the end of the show. But let's move on, man, because I got to talk about my Chicago Bears. Before I go on to anything else, man, let me just take a step back and say to all my Auburn fans, man, I know it's painful. I know it hurts. I know that, you know, once again, you all felt like you had Alabama right where you wanted them. And once again, Alabama comes into Jordan here and snatches you guys' hearts right out of your chest. So from me to you, big brother, and on behalf of your other big brothers, the Alabama Crimson Tide football team, just want to say Roll Tide and, we'll do it all again next year. All right. You know, so all my Auburn fans, man, that are tuned in, man, look, y'all know what it is, man. Big bro doing big bro things, man. Y'all are still a little brother, and it's all good, right? So, again, had to say that. I know y'all didn't think I was going to move on and not throw some shade y'all way, especially because of the Auburn fans that I know that were trying to blow up my phone, you know, anytime that we played them, right? Always got a lot to say, but good. Guess what? My phone is real quiet now, y'all. It's crickets in the chat, right? So, look. Hey, anyway, moving on. I promise y'all I'm done. So, look, again, my Chicago Bears versus the Green Bay Packers, man. This is a battle for first place in NFC North. Right now, my Chicago Bears are currently sitting at first place, 9-3. And the Packers are right behind them in second place in the NFC North at 8-3-1. Again, this is a battle for first place. This is the oldest rivalry in the NFL. This is the best rivalry in the NFL. You can argue with a wall. This is the oldest and best rivalry in the NFL. Packers in this one, they're a six and a half point favorite. So pretty much touchdown favorite. Over under is 39.5 in this one. Now the series record, the Packers actually lead it 108 to 96, and then there's been six ties. Look, the last meeting between these two teams, my Chicago Bears, led by rookie Caleb Williams, man, winning the Lambeau Field, stole a victory 24-22. Cairo Santos knocking in a field goal as time expired on January 5th, man. That was my Super Bowl. I know that year didn't go the way that we wanted it to, and you know, that was an up and down year. But that was all, look, Bears fans, that was our Super Bowl. Y'all can laugh at us, y'all can say what you want. But that only sparked what was to come, and now you see the turnaround of a 9-3 football team in my Chicago Bears. That look right in the mix, man. Five games left, have an opportunity to do something special, and being that they're currently sitting as the number one seed in the NFC, they have an opportunity to lock up a number one seed with five games left. And look, if teams got to come through Chicago, I'm telling you right now, to get to the Super Bowl, look, that cold weather, that wind, woo-wee. Look, I'm trying to tell y'all, man, don't let us get that number one seed. Don't let us get it. So, again, let's look at how these teams match up, right? So the Bears, not even really how they match up. I'll give you guys some background on the team. So the Bears right now, second in the NFL in rushing with 150 yards a game, and number one in the league in turnovers with 17 on the year. And the Packers on the other side, they're fourth in the NFL in yards allowed per game at 284. This is definitely going to be a heavyweight fight. I do think that, you know, when you ask the question about who does this game mean more to, I think it's my Chicago Bears, man. And the reason why I say that is because even after everything that they've done, even after turning this season around the way that they have, bringing in Ben Johnson, shoring up the offensive line by bringing in three studs and Drew Dahlman and Joe Tooney and Jonah Jackson, right? Even after adding some talent on the offensive side of the ball, right? You get Colston Loveland, you get Luther Burden, you get Kyle Manunga. The rushing attack that they've had and how they went into Philadelphia and absolutely dominated the Philadelphia Eagles the way that they did. People saying that, look, they have not seen a team go into Philadelphia and dominate Philly the way that the Bears did, right? Even after all of that, even after all of the success, they still doubt my boys. And I'm glad they still don't think that we're for real. They still don't think that we're the team to beat. They think that the Packers are the team to beat, and that's perfectly fine. I love the doubt. I love the hate. I love all of that, because every time they don't take us seriously, the Bears respond with a W. This team has been down late in games time and time and time again, and what do? They find ways to win. Caleb put the team on his shoulders, put together solid drives to take the lead, clutch drives to take the lead. The defense taking the ball away, getting big stops late in the game, right? We're the only team that stopped the tush push this year, right? Nashawn Wright comes in and strips the ball out. Jalen Hurts, I love you, boy. Jalen, you my dog. But look, Nashawn Wright came in there and stripped the ball. Look, stopped the tush push. How many teams can you look at and say in this league that stopped the tush push? We did it. I mean, there's nothing else left to say. I mean, either y'all can get on this bandwagon now or later. But I keep telling y'all, man, my Bears are back. I told y'all we were serious contenders. I told y'all, and we are here to stay, man. Ben Johnson, look, he has come in and he's really turned this program around. And I am nothing but excited about that. And you know, I think that a lot of people are not picking the Bears to win this game. I know there are some people out here picking the Bears to win. But I think the key in this game is the fact that the Bears have such an effective rushing attack, I think that can be the difference in this game. And, you know, look at the average time of possession for the Chicago Bears on the year. So right now, they rank high in the NFL when it comes to time of possession. So they're averaging close to 31 minutes, pretty much 31 minutes and 57 seconds. So we'll round it up to 32 minutes a game, right? And in the second half, there's a significant jump of 51%, right? So that's a strong overall performance of time of possession. So their overall rank in time of possession is sixth in NFL. And why is that? Because they can run the ball the way they can run the ball. They can wear you down. And as they're wearing you down, things open up in the pass game, right? So, again, that 51% time of possession in the NFL, that's 12th in the league, which I still feel like that's really, really good. And look, I think that, you know, obviously you got a guy in Micah Parsons that is a terror on the defensive side of the ball. They got a couple guys on the back end that can make some plays. But I think Ben Johnson schemes up a perfect game plan to neutralize Micah Parsons, to somewhat take him away, take him out of the game. I think that they stick to that run in Swift and Kyle Manungai, guys who have really come along and really complimented each other this year. I think that, you know, they keep that strong rushing attack going. I think the Bears defense, they're going to come through. I think that they'll get, you know, some big stops. I think they'll create at least two turnovers, not let Jordan Love pick them off over the top. Like, he likes to take the deep shot. The Packers, we know them. They love to take the chunk plays. They love to get down the field and score quickly. But I think that the defense, you know, yeah, there'll be some plays that they give up here and there. But ultimately, I think that the defense will bend and not break. And again, I think that they'll get some turnovers and control this game. I think that they'll be able to control the time of possession, and they'll be able to come out of Lambeau with a win, man. So I think Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, Ben Johnson, going to Lambeau. Caleb goes in and it's 2-0 in Lambeau Field, and the Bears win, man. Bear down. Look, I'm telling y'all like it is, man. Look, call me crazy. I'm telling you this right now. Bears win this game. Then you look at the next games. They have Cleveland at home, and then they play Green Bay again at home. So that's two back-to-back home games, and then they go on the road to play the 49ers, a great football team, a team that's that's a dangerous team to play as well. And then they finish off the year with Detroit coming in town to Chicago. So three out of the five games left on Chicago's schedule are at home, which is a really, really great advantage. So look, we'll see how it shakes up, man. But I got my money on my boys, man, and my Bears. All right, y'all. So now the time has come. The time has come for us to look at the championship Saturday matchups and make our picks. Well, for me to make my picks. So what I'm going to do is run down each of these matchups again. I'll tell you guys the over-under again, and then we'll talk about who's going to win these games, right? Who is going to come out victorious and bring these things home, man? So first off, man, let's look at my favorite, the SEC championship game. And actually, you know what? I'm going to go off script. I'm going to save the SEC championship game for last. I'll say that one for last. So let's start with the Big 12 championship game, right? So we got, again, number 11 BYU in a rematch against number 4 Texas Tech. Again, Texas Tech is favored by 12.5 in this one. The over-under in this matchup is 49.5. Texas Tech did win the first meeting 29-7. Blew BYU out at home on November 8th. 368 total yards of offense and forced three turnovers. It was two fumbles and a interception that Texas Tech was able to force against BYU. Now, BYU, they are number 2 in rushing yards and yards allowed in the Big 12. Texas Tech, they are number 1 in the Big 12 in total yards, number 2 in passing, number 3 in rushing, and number 1 in points allowed, yards allowed, and sacks. So, look, Texas Tech is legit. They're for real. I don't see BYU winning this game. I don't see them winning a rematch. I think Texas Tech, they're just too much for them offensively and defensively. I think that, you know, BYU, they'll keep it interesting. But I think that, you know, Texas Tech will come out and I think that they win. And I also think that they cover the 12.5. So I'm picking Texas Tech to win the Big 12 championship. Next up, let's look at the I'll do the ACC championship next. And, you know, looking at this, man, look, unranked Duke, they're 7-5 matching up against, you know, number 17, Virginia. Again, Virginia, you know, they're a four point favorite in this one. Over under is 57.5. Now, the first time that these teams just played 2 weeks ago, Virginia blew them out 34-17. That's all I really need to know. I'm going with Virginia. I don't see Duke beating them. Now, it would be hilarious if Duke did knock off Virginia. That means I think the ACC, you know, they could be in trouble. They because Duke is not getting, even if Duke wins the ACC championship game, I don't think they get an automatic bid into the college football playoff at 7-5. So then we have a messy situation in which the ACC could get left out. So you never know, but I'm picking Virginia. I think that they just have, you know, they have too much for Duke, but we'll see. You know, stranger things have happened. Speaking of Stranger Things, man, oh my God, bro, season 5 Stranger Things. If you have not watched it, get on that. If you haven't watched Stranger Things at all, start from the beginning and work your way all the way to season 5, man. I'm telling y'all, it's crazy. Sorry, I got sidetracked. Back on track, but Big Ten championship game, man. Number 2, Indiana. Number 1, Ohio State. A lot of people are mad about this because College Game Day decided to come here to Atlanta instead of going to Indianapolis for the 1-2 matchup of the big, bad Big Ten. Who cares, man? Look, the SEC is the best conference in college football. Get over it, okay? Same thing happened this year where there's the College Game Day went to a Big Ten matchup and there was a way better SEC matchup than College Game Day didn't go to. Stop crying. Focus on winning the game. Anyway, Ohio State, again, 4-point favorite in this one. Over-under is 47.5. Indiana is number 1 in the Big Ten in yards a game, number 1 in rushing, number 2 in points allowed, and number 3 in yards allowed. And they're 2nd in sacks. On the other side of things, Ohio State, they're number 2 in passing, number 1 in points and yards allowed. I think that this is going to be a really good game. It'll be back and forth. It does have potential to be a low-scoring game because of both of these teams, how they play defensively. So it could be a low-scoring game at first, and then it could turn into a shootout, or it could, you know, start off as a shootout and slow down. We'll see. But I think it could be either or. I think that, you know, Ohio State, they're going to make two big plays in this game, two game-changing plays, whether that's a Caleb Downs interception or a forced fumble or they convert on a fourth down, Julian Sayin standing in the pocket and converting a big fourth down or, you know, to keep a drive going or the defense gets a big fourth down stop. Either one of those variations of plays, I think they're going to make two big plays in this game. And I think that Ohio State comes out victorious in this one. And so, you know, I'm going to roll with Ohio State. But again, these are two best teams in the Big Ten facing off against each other. So we'll see what happens. But I'm gonna lean Ohio State, and I'm picking Ohio State in this one. And now, I wish I had the Chicago Bulls. You know, music playing in the background, man, when the Bulls in the 90s, when they start running out on the court. And now, but anyway, look, this is the game of the weekend, man, of Saturday. This is the game of championship games, man. This is the SEC championship, the national championship before the actual national championship. And in some cases, the real national championship, right? Between two teams that have, you know, built up, you know, reputation for playing each other in this game, right? And look, number 3 UGA, number 9 Alabama. UGA is a 2.5-point favorite. The over under is 48.5. Alabama, again, they beat Georgia in Athens earlier this year. You know, big win for the Crimson Tide. Now, again, Georgia. So Alabama did beat Georgia for its seventh SEC championship in 2023, and that was when Nick Saban was there. Obviously, Georgia, you know, they fell 1-7 against Alabama under Kirby Smart. After that, 24-21 loss in Athens, like I said, that was their first home loss in 6 years, and now they're 0-3 in a series in the last 4 years. And that includes that 27-24 loss in the 2023 SEC championship game when Georgia was number one. Now, Bama is fourth in the SEC in passing. UGA is fourth in rushing. Bama is second in points allowed. UGA is third. And they both are averaging, you know, 16 points per game, a little over 16 points a game that they're allowing. You know, Bama is third in yards allowed and UGA is fourth. No, look, all the hype is around Georgia. People don't think Bama can beat them a second time. You know, which is why they keep throwing in the hole. Well, if Bama were to lose the SEC championship game again, I keep seeing these statements flying around. Right. And I'm you know, it's funny to me because each and every year that we do play Georgia, it's always the same conversation. They always seem to doubt, you know, the Tide when it comes to playing Georgia, and some people just cannot fathom, and they cannot, you know, come to grips with the fact that, you know, Bama is a serious kryptonite for Georgia, and that's okay. But, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at this matchup, some key injuries, obviously Alabama is going to be without, you know, LT Overton on the defensive side of the ball. Josh Quavis, at number one tight end important piece for that offense, right? A reliable piece for Ty Simpson. He's questionable, as well as Jam Miller, who got injured in the Iron Bowl, leg injury. But hopefully, you know, both of those guys are good to go. And I don't think Jam is going to play, but hopefully, you know, Josh Quavis is able to give it a go. And then you look on the other side of Georgia, they have quite a few injuries. You know, had a couple of linemen injured, a couple of guys on the back end that popped up in the secondary. And then you got your starting center that's going to be looking like he's going to be out of this game. So you got a true freshman starting at center. So that interior is going to be an area where Alabama could take advantage of and put some pressure on. And, you know, again, I think Bama's going to be solid on offense in this game. I know Ty is, you know, it's been up and down a year for him, but I think that, you know, he's going to hit some big throws. A lot of people try to talk about him, say he can't make big throws, and yeah, he overthrows and misses on some ones, but he follows that back up with some amazing throws where he threads the needle, or he gets on a run and throws a nice pass on a run. So I think Ty is going to be Ty. I think that, again, he's going to hit some big throws, take advantage of that secondary, which I still, to this day, I going to keep sending you to say this, that Georgia's secondary is questionable, right? You know, you look at this, you know, this team, they run the ball better, they play better defensively, but, you know, only putting up 16 points against Georgia Tech, you know, last week, that's, you know, makes you kind of raise your eyes, right? So, yeah, I think that, you know, the defense is going to play sound defense. They're going to bend and they won't break. Again, there are going to be some plays that Georgia is going to make. And, you know, there's going to be some plays that Alabama makes. But I think that ultimately I trust Alabama's defense. I trust, the offense to, you know, to be smart, take care of the ball and take advantage when the time comes. So, you know, of course, look, this is no surprise to y'all, man. I'm rolling with the Tide, man. You already know what's on the shirt. Look, we roll with the Tide all day, every day. So, look, there you have it. Those are my picks. Again, that's all I have for y'all, man. I'm excited to see how this all shakes up. I hope everybody, look, it's cold outside, man. Make sure y'all stay inside. Cut your heat on. Don't be afraid. Get you a space heater. Get something, man. Get warm. Stay safe out here this weekend, man, and enjoy. Be safe, be blessed, and look, we'll be back. I promise to do it all again next week, man. So peace, blessings, I'm out, man, and as always, Roll Tide.